Okay, so we're learning Kina Yud Aleph, the Kina on Yoshiyahu, on the death of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. We'll go over some of the ideas we mentioned last week and we'll continue on in the Kina. So we mentioned the Kina is structured according to Perek Dalet of Eicha. Perek Dalet of Eicha was composed, as we know, as all of Eicha was, by Yirmiyahu HaNavi. But specifically, what he had in mind in Eicha Perek Dalet was the tragic death of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. That's why the parak there begins with the words Echa Yuam Zahav Yishne HaKesem HaTov, which is a reference to Yoshiyahu HaMelech and his countenance that was dimmed. Later on in the parak, it mentions Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach HaShem Nilkad B'Shchis Osam Asher Amarnu B'Tzilo Nichya V'Agoyim. Again, that's a reference to Yoshiyahu HaMelech. So this was certainly the point of Echa Perek Dalet. So what Elazar HaKalir did here was he took the first word of each pasuk of Perek Dalet, and that became the word that began each stanza in this kina as well. So as you can see, Eicha, and then you have B'nei Cham, that corresponds to the second pasuk, B'nei Tzion, Gam, that's the third pasuk, and so on. And that's what he did here throughout the kina until you get to Tav. Then after you get to Tav, he did a few more stanzas of Tav. And then at the end, he put his own name. The last four lines contain the certain letters that correspond to the name Elazar. As you can see, Osos Kinos, that's the Aleph. Then Lubata, that's the Lamed. Ace is the Ayin. Zamosi is the Zayin. And Resh is the Resh, is the Resh of Elazar. Rashati. So the point of this Kina is to express the grief that really you see in the Pesukim and Divrei HaYamim that the death of Yoshiyahu HaMelech engendered, that Yoshiyahu HaMelech was killed in his prime. He was only 39 years old. He reigned for 31 years, from age 8 to age 39. Things seemed to be looking up. Yoshiyahu HaMelech campaigned in many ways to reverse the terrible trend that had set in the wake of Menasseh's reign for 55 years, and then Ammon, that was for 2 years. This is Yoshiyahu's father and grandfather. And in the time of Menasseh especially, the Churban was decreed. And Yoshiyahu HaMelech had an epiphany, which had to do with the discovery of a Sefer Torah as they were cleaning the Beis HaMikdash, Chilkiyahu HaKohen, which according to the Radak was the father of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu. He discovered a Sefer Torah. He handed it over to Shafan. Shafan read it to the king, and it was open to Parshas Kisavo, which describes the Tochacha and how Hashem would take the Melech into exile. As a result of that, Yoshiyahu HaMelech realized that we must do something, and the first thing he did was he arranged for them to send to a Navi to find out the meaning of this discovery. The Navi that they sent to was Chulda HaNaviya, thinking, as the Gemara says, that she would have a tender perspective, a softer perspective, but in fact her Nevuah was very harsh. And she decreed the impending doom, the Churban. And in other words, it can't be undone. But she also said that because this touched you so much in your heart, so she predicted that Yoshiyahu HaMelech would not himself see the terrible Churban. She actually predicted Yoshiyahu's death. And she said that you'll end up dying before all this happens. And in fact, the Churban took place about 22 and a half years after the death of Yoshiyahu. And this event, as described in the Pesukim in Divrei HaYamim Beis at the very end, brought out tremendous grief on the part of the Kal Yisrael, and specifically Yirmiyahu HaNavi himself poured out his heart and composed a kina for Yoshiyahu HaMelech. As the pasuk says, "Vayikonin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu," and the pasuk also tells us it became a chok, an established thing, to mourn Yoshiyahu. And Rashi there, whoever it is, if it's Rashi, it's not clear, it could be someone else, another Rishon on the Pasuk in Divrei HaYamim, emphasizes that whenever Kal Yisrael cry over other tzaros of the Churban, they also make a point of including this death of Yoshiyahu as part of the process of mourning the Churban. And this is a background for understanding why this kina is so important. If you were to take a few kinas from all the kinas that we say, this would be one of those that really stand out because of the significance of the idea of mourning Yoshiyahu HaMelech. So Elazar HaKalir begins by saying, Eicha Eli Konu Me'elav, Ben Shmona Shana Hechalidros Melukav. We noted how the correspondence between this sentence and the psukim in Tanakh, in Melachim Beis, and in Divrei Yamim, that Yoshua Melch was 8 years old, it says, when he began to seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We noted that what the Radak says, that really even the Pasuk sounds like it was 8 years into his reign. Radak explains it was really at the age of eight when he began his reign, he began to seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean, Echa Eli Konu Me'elav? So there are a few ways that we can understand it. Echa Eli Konu means to cry out. Eli means to cry, like Eli Tzion Be'areha. Konu also means to cry out. Me'elav. Now, Elav, as many understand it, means from the greats. El is a Lashon Chozek. So that would mean, one way to understand it is to cry out for the great, one of the great ones, meaning Yoshua Melch was considered such a hero. So to cry out from what happened to one of the great mighty ones and how he felt. Another possibility that could be suggested is that it doesn't mean from the demise of the great one, rather it means that the kina should come from someone great, and we know Yirmiyahu HaNavi, as described in the Pasuk in Divrei Yamim, was the first one to set the trend to mourn for Yoshiyahu. So already starting with Yirmiyahu, the great Navi Yirmiyahu already established the idea of mourning Yoshiyahu. So may Elav, from the strong ones, to mourn for Yoshiyahu. There's another shot that I just saw today. I happened to discover a perush on Kinnis from the 1600s, maybe even the 1500s. It's written by Yosef Rav Asher. Daniel Goldschmidt, in the classic edition of Kinnis, mentions some of the perushim that preceded him that he was able to work off of when he composed his edition. So he mentions this particular perush from hundreds of years ago. And he explains something fascinating. The word me'elav, he says something very different than anything we've said so far. We're going to see pretty soon, there's a theme that comes up a lot in the Kina, that although Klal Yisrael were raised to a great level through Yoshua Melech's efforts, but there was a lot of Avodah Zarah that was done quietly, secretly, that remained. And that was part of the problem. And in a sense, Yoshua paid the price for those averos, as we'll soon see, in a sense that he was the king, and therefore he was nenash ba'avon hador, one of the pshatim that we mentioned in the pasuk in Yeshaya, that says, b'shvil hara, nesaf ha-tzadik, that means that because of the evil of the generation, the tzadik has to pay the price. And one of the averos, one of the ways that the Avodah Zarah was manifest, or not manifest, I mean, obviously, but it was there, concealed, was, and Midrashim tell us about this, Rashi and Yirmiyahu mentions it to Medrash Eicha, that they put the Avodah Zarah behind the door, based on the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Achar HaDeles, but they were divided. Half the Avodah Zarah was behind one door and half behind the other door. When the doors were opened by the patrolmen, the policemen who came to check on the Avodah Zarah, so they wouldn't see anything, because it only was clear as an Avodah Zarah when the doors were closed. So they opened the door, they didn't see anything, they closed the door, and there it was. So therefore, that's one of the expressions of how the Avodah Zarah was worshipped, and they were able to trick Yoshua Melech and his people who came to destroy Avodah Zarah. So based on this, this parish that I saw today explains that, in fact, the word Elim can also mean mezuzos. It means like threshold of a door. He brings a pasuk in Yechezkel, Perek Mem Aleph. Vayomad es ha'elim sheish amos rochav, and the perush Mitzvah David there says es ha'elim heim hamezuzos. Says this perush from Kinnis, from hundreds of years ago, me'elav mezuzos ha'pesach nikroim elim b'yecheskel, and the point is because of the chait that of the Avodah Zarah behind the doors, that's why we have to cry. Okay, we also noted last week that the play on the word el here in both of these first two sentences, elav, Elokav, Elav, is a remez to the 31 years of the reign of Yoshiyahu. Aleph Lamed is Gematria 31. It continues with B'nei Cham, which are Mitzrayim, they come from Cham, the Avram. They were simply trying to pass through. The circumstances of the death of Yoshiyahu had to do with the fact that Paro Necho just wanted to pass through Eretz Yisrael on his way to a place called Karkemish, which was to the north, in order to do battle, seems, with Ashur. And he really didn't need Yoshiyahu to stop him. He wasn't looking to start up with Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu felt that we can't let this happen. And he felt that the Madrega of Klal Yisrael was such that we are promised in Parshas Bechukosei, the Cherev will save Ba'aretzichem, that even a Cherev, as Chazal interpret, even a Cherev of peace shall not pass through, even not to wage war with you, but just to pass through. So he felt that we cannot let Karnacho even pass through. That's why the Lashon here is Ba'avram. He just wants to pass through. And as they were doing that, Chanu Olav, they encamped against him. And it, unfortunately, Huskaro Sigui Mifalov, and it was not mentioned for him, remembered for him, his many deeds. Sigui is his many, his multiple tzidkos, all the things that he did. And we explained, again, based on the Psukim and Yeshaya, Bishvil Hara, he was obviously tripped by the fact that he, as we'll soon see, he didn't listen to Yirmiyahu HaNavi. We didn't consult with Yirmiyahu HaNavi, as it would be, but this is just a pretext. But clearly there was a larger cheshbon that Kadosh Baruch Hu had it in for him, as it were, because of the fact that Nehara Nesef HaTzadik, either because of the chait of the door, or as the other way to explain it, because he shouldn't have to see and suffer when the Churban happens. We continue with Oz Gimel, and it continues and says that even, again, Gam corresponding to the Pasuk in Eicha Per Dalet, Gam Tanim Chotzu Shad, Gam B'chol Malchi Yisrael Shekom Ligdor, all the kings of Klal Yisrael that came to patch the breaches, meaning to stand up, to set things right. So lo kam kamo mimos Avigdor. From the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, known one of his names is Avigdor, there's never been anyone as great as Yoshiyahu. We know that Melech Moshe was a king, had a status of a king, and so there were many kings. And from Moshe to Yoshiyahu, there wasn't anyone in between that was as great. Now we're up to Dalet. And again, the word Davak, corresponding to the Pasuk here in Davak Lashon Yoneik in Pasuk Dalet and Eicha Perek Dalet. What does he say? This talks about the specific Avera of the Zara as it was committed by, as he calls them, the Leitzanei Hador. Davak Bo, it cleaved to him, Chet Leitzanei Hador, the sin of the scoffers of the generation, Asher Kamu Achar Hadeles Lisdor, that they stood, or they set up idols behind the door. Now, the Medrash that it's based on is, as you can also find this in your source sheets, the Medrash is found in Medrash Eicha. You look on page number 3. Toward the end of the quote from Medrash Eicha, the Hulo Hayadeya Shekol Doro of the Avodas Kochavim Hayu Had Mishal Zug Talmidim to destroy Avodah Zarah from their homes. They came in, they didn't find anything. And when they close, they're leaving, Amru, Trudu, Tarin, close the gates. When they close the gates, they would see the Avodah Zarah, those on the inside. Amru Alein, they said on them, haha, man the us of a tikein, who the us of a kilka, the one that came to fix, they came and ruined. They tried to destroy the Zara, and they opened the doors, and then they closed the doors. And the last laugh is that they actually set the Avodah Zarah up. They put it together. But they put the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle together by closing the door. So I believe this is maybe the source for the Lashon Leitzanei Hador. I haven't found a medrash to the effect that this idea is called Leitzanei Hador. We find it in other places, like by, for example, the birth of Yitzchak. Rashi quotes the medrash that the Leitzanei Hador would say in Mevi Melchnes Abba Sarah, that she didn't really become pregnant from Avram because Avram and her couldn't have children all these years, rather it was from Avimelech. But we don't really find in Chazal, to my knowledge, the reference of Leitzanei Hador, but perhaps he's playing off of this medrash that they were saying, look, those who came to Mitakin, they were Mekalkel. It's another way of saying, ha-ha, you see, we got you to set up the Avodah Zarah. So that's probably why, Rav Al Kalir, yes. Yes. Of Eicha Perek Dalet, right. That would be a very tall order if you were to try to figure that out. I won't even begin to try. It's hard to imagine that they really do. Occasionally, maybe you could find something, but it's hard enough for someone to compose a kina just by using the first word and try working off of that. What I will say, though, there is certainly a significance to the word davak here. In other words, I'm not trying to connect it to the context of the pasuk there, but the fact that he's using the word davak here, I think is significant, and I'll explain what I mean. You see, the point that Yoshio could be punished, so to speak, for the sin of the generation that they were over the Bazaar quietly, clandestinely, in this manner. So it's described with the word davak. It's like the sin cleaved to him. I want to understand what that means. And I think the pshat is as follows, that the yisod is what we call arevus. Kol yisod arevim zelazeh. That means to say that, especially to the extent that someone is in a position of leadership, so that's where this issue comes up. If you look in Rashi and Shavuos Hametz and also in Sanhedrin, that the idea of Christ of Ravens always is mentioned specifically regarding the leaders. And if therefore, if someone who's under their jurisdiction does an Aveira, so that they are considered responsible. And the Gemara explains because they could have been Moche, they should have been Moche. The question is, how far does that go? And the truth is that the Machokis Tanoim, whether the notion of Aravus extends even to what we call Nistaros. That is to say, the Pasuk says in Nitzavim, HaNistaros HaShem Elokeinu, VaHaNiglos Lo Nevenu Ad Olam. So according to one opinion, one Tana, that means that even after Christ took forth the Yarden and Aravus set in, the Aravus only entails being punished for Averos of a fellow Jew, or someone who I could make a difference in their life, on the level that it's a visible Averos, something that you can imagine knowing about. But if it's Nistaros, if it's behind closed doors, as it were, it's private, you can't hold me responsible, according to one opinion. And then the other opinion, and that is it's Machogis of Yehuda and Rav Nechemya. So according to Yehuda, they were Nenash on the Staros. And that happened after they entered Eretz Yisrael. And of course the question becomes, how can that be? How can I know what's going on in the Chadei Chadorim? So I found in the Meiri in Sanhedrin, and also in Mem Gimel, Mem Daled in Sanhedrin, where this Gemara appears, and also Rabbeinu Yonah, they both address the question. The Meiri says, Dayona Yisrael v'chachameyem u'manhigeyem tzrichim heim v'fastes tamid v'chazer v'lachkor al maisei b'nei Iram. V'ein lehem isnatsulis kishiyasu haro'oi what he seems to be saying is that if you try hard enough and you investigate enough, you will discover even what seems to be totally hidden. There are no secrets. If you really do enough investigative reporting, you will discover it. Rabbeinu Yonah says it in his way. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if something over the Seser, you can try to find some inkling of that Avera too. But I think you have to explain one more thing here to understand this. See, it's one thing to say that if I worked hard enough, I could discover the Avera, I could investigate enough. It's another thing to say that should be the cause of being punished. I mean, how far do you need me to go? Because I didn't take that extra measure of precaution to check that much. Isn't that hard to imagine? So if it's niglos, so you could say, why am I getting blamed? Why am I being punished? Because I didn't do what I should have done. I didn't do enough. But if the enough means over and beyond what you normally imagine, but I should have done that as well, is that a basis to pin the blame on me? But the answer is, it starts the other way around. It's not that the basis of the onesh is the fact that I didn't do more. The basis of the onesh is a reality. The reality is called arevus. We are in the same boat. The mashal in the medrash that somebody is in a boat digging under his seat, and they're out in the middle of the ocean, and the water's coming in, and the other people in the boat say, "What are you doing here? You're digging, the water's coming in." He says, "I'm just digging under my seat. What's that to do with you? Don't you understand? We're in one boat together. The water comes into you. We're all going to drown." That's the muscle the Medrash uses to explain the idea of Arevus. Arevus means that Klal Yisrael are stuck together. We're one. the rave of the melech is like the rave of the people. If people are slipping, then the melech is naturally responsible. It's a natural dynamic. Elamai, if he's totally an onus, if he has no, he has a total perfect excuse. I did everything I could have done. So then maybe like onus rachmana patrei, then Hashem will spear the reality of the onus from expressing itself vis-a-vis the melech, vis-a-vis others. But to the extent that you can always say, but it's not a total onus. After all, you could have done. So then there's a reality. The reality is davak. That's the Russian, I think, of davak bo, because it's a mitzius. It's a reality. The chet letzani hador, that they were doing what they were doing, naturally that affects the rest of Klal Yisrael, or more specifically the melech, the king. And the fact that he could have done more, that's just a way to take it out of the category of onus rachmana patrei, that he's not an onus. But the mitzius of why it is that b'shvil hara, mipnei hara netzav hatzadik, is a mitzius. The mitzius is, as the expression here, is davak bo. It just cleaves to him. The tzadik is a mitzius, that the tzadik is nenash b'avon hador. Rachmana letzan, it's a frightening idea, but that would be alluded to in the expression here, davak. In the next letter is the hey, and that's the pasuk again corresponding to the pasuk ha'ochim le'ma'adanim. So it says a clear ha'ochim zera shichor, those who eat from the vegetation of the Nile. Shichor is a reference to the Nile in Mitzrayim, meaning the Mitzvim. Kismo atov picha mo mishchor, his beautiful, his wonderful countenance. Kesem atov, from the pasuk in Eichah there, in the beginning of Perek Dalet, Kesem HaTov, his beautiful, wonderful, good countenance, they blackened it more than charcoal. That's what the Mishnah did, in other words, by killing Yoshiyahu. Vav, Vayigdal Avon, now here it's interesting, here it's not just the first word of Eichah, Perek Dalet, that Rehuzel here uses, here it's the only time of the whole Kina where he actually took the liberty of taking the two words. All he needed to do was take the first word, but for his purposes, he could take both. The pasuk there says, "Vayigdal avon bas ani." So Rav Elazar Kliya says, "Vayigdal avon deheshiv yamin achor," meaning the sin increased, kept going, getting worse, consistently worse, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took back his right hand, which is rachamin, pulled it back. That's based on the pasuk in Eicha Perek Beis. Heshiv achor yemino mipnei oyev, meaning Hashem withheld his hand of salvation. The od lo shalach yadav nachor, he has yet to extend his hand from the hole. What does that mean? Everything is based on psukim or based on midrashim. Based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, the pasuk says in Shir HaShirim in Perek Hey, Dodi means a Kaddish Baruch Hu, my beloved, shalach yadav nachor, extend his hand from the hole. Umnei hamu olav, and my innards were churning on him. So apparently, what does Rav Elazar mean over here? That Kadosh Baruch Hu has yet to save us. He has not extended his hand. So according to this, the extending of the hand minachor is an expression of geula. That Kadosh Baruch Hu has not extended his hand because it was already sealed and decreed that it should be a churban, and Yeshua had to die before the churban, and therefore there was a destruction, and therefore Yeshua died. It's interesting that if you look in Rashi, in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, those psukim there in Perek Hey in Shir HaShirim, you get a little bit of a different twist. You have this medrash, you have this Rashi on your sheets, a little bit of a different twist on Shalach Yadav Nachor. Take a look on page number 2 on the Rashi, based on the midrashim. You can see the psukim there. It says in pasuk Dalet, Dodi Shalach Yadav Nachor, and Umei Hamu Alav. So Hashem extends his hand, and my innards are churning. Then it says, I got up to open the door. And then it says, Pasachti ani dodi, and I opened the door. The dodi chamak avar, and then my beloved disappears. He's not there. So what's the nimshel here? So Rashi explains like this. Shalach yado is an expression of nekama. Hashem lashed out. Notice how different than where it seems over here. Shalach yado means to lash out. Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu lash out? A couple examples in history. First of all, b'nei achas. In the time of Achaz, the father of Chizkiyahu, who was a Rasha, we know that Achaz was a terrible Rasha, and during his rain, because Baruch Hu sicked on Bnei Yisrael the nation of Aram, Chel Melech Aram, and they caused a lot of harm. And then it says, after that happened, Umei Hamulav, and my innards were churning, meaning the son of Achaz was Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu looked at that and he took it to heart. And he says, let's come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to reverse this trend. So comes Chizkiyahu, v'shav v'chal liba l'dros HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it was the highest level that he brought them to. They all knew Tumah v'Taira, as it says. Rashi goes on to quote from the Gemara. And similarly, says Rashi, by Yoshiyahu. First, there was Shalach Yadom Nachor. That means that there were all kinds of destructions, that punishments that occurred to Klal Yisrael in the wake of the sins of Menashe and of Ammon. But Umei Hamulav. But my innards were churning, meaning comes Yoshiyahu and says, no, let's go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's reverse the trend. And what happened? Nephtai opened the door for my beloved. So now the Yeshua is going to come. Now the Churban won't happen. But no, when I'm ready to open and I finally open the door, Dodi Chomak Ovar, the Gezeirah is not being reversed. In other words, by comes to Chizkiyahu, there was a Gezeirah that he showed one of the kings his treasure house, and that was a mistake. And it says as a result, Yeshaya tells him that all this is going to be brought into Bavel. So that decree ended up being carried out. Similarly, over here with Yoshiyahu, says Rashi, as Chuda Neviah says, when she was asked the meaning of the Sefer Torah, she says, you should know there's going to be a destruction, and it can't be changed. It's irreversible. So that's the pshat. Finally, we're coming back. We're coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may I humble our love. And there's a mass tshuva, and I'm opening the door, and I'm saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save the Beis HaMikdash. And yet, no. Pasachtini dodiv dodicha makavar. Can't, too little, too late. Vek Rashi Akasha, continue on the next page. Vek Rashi, the Imtomar. Yirmiyahu is always being misnabe. He started being misnabe, as the pasuk says there, beginning Yirmiyahu, in year 13 of Yoshiyahu's reign. So that was from then until the 31st year of Yoshiyahu's reign. And then you had another 22 some years, the reign of his successors. Most, you had Yehoyakim, a lot of years, and you had Tzidkiyahu. So 11 years, I think, Yehoyakim, and then Tzidkiyahu the same, and then it was 3 months of two other kings. So I don't understand, says Rashi. Yirmiyahu is omer misnab me Yehoyakim and Tzidkiyahu. Shuvu lai vashuvu aleichem. Strange. That pasuk is in Malachi. Rashi puts it in the mouth of Yirmiyahu. Don't know. Those particular words are Malachi. I don't have an answer. But meanwhile, the idea is there. Yirmiyahu is asking for tshuva, meaning, sounds like, if you do tshuva, the churban won't happen. Says Rashi, the answer is an amazing thing. Lo levatel sagzera. Tshuva could not have changed that gzera. Apparently, even Yoshiyahu couldn't change the gzera. So if you'll do tshuva after Yoshiyahu, achas kamikam, it won't matter. But why would it matter? Lesson the Peronius. And that's also important. Lesson the Peronius. Lo'achim malchusam b'shuvanam. You have to always think beyond. You can't always have everything, but it can make a difference. And I'll give you a muscle, a very good muscle. If you look in the Netziv, I don't have time to get into it too much because of the time, but if you look in the Netziv in this week's parsha, in Parshas Devar, in our parsha, the pasuk is Vateshu v'kadesh yomim rabim kayom asher yeshavtem. What's the pshat in the pasuk? You dwelt in kadesh the amount of days that you dwelt, meaning that there was a gzeira that they'd be wandering in the desert after the Meraglim's a sin, so they had to remain in the desert for another 38 years. Now, of those 38 years, Rashi makes a cheshbon for us, 19, half of that time was spent in one location, in Kadesh. So that means that even though there was a gzeira that they should be wandering in the Midbar, that was apparently also part of the gzeira, the Meraglim, not just to die out, but to wander, going by Midbar, to be shepherds, to go from one place to another, but there was half of that time they were actually settled in one place. Why was that? It says in Hitziv, and I think the Malbim says the same, because it says in the pasuk right before, "V'lo shama Hashem," that you cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says Hashem didn't listen to you. "V'lo hezen aleichem." And then the pasuk says, "V'ateishu v'kadosh." It says in Hitziv, an unbelievable thing. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't listen. It means you wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael right now. You wanted to reverse the Gzeirah. Too late. The Gzeirah is made. But you should know that it made a difference. And it says somewhere, Tefillah makes Nechsa, can do accomplish half. Meaning we'll meet halfway. Because Baruch Hu says, you have to wander for 38 years. But you know what? 19 will be in one place. I'll cushion the blow for you. You'll be settled in one place. It won't be as bad as it would have been otherwise. So after the Tefillah and the Tshuva of Klal Yisrael did matter. It didn't matter in the way they would have liked, but it mattered to at least create a little more of a comfort zone to cushion the blow. This is what Rashi's saying over here with Yirmiyahu. Had they done tshuva, maybe to the extent that they did, it did accomplish something, and that was why he was kept coming back at them to do tshuva, even though it would not have reversed the gzeirah of the churban, but it would have at least created more stability that it wouldn't have been as bad in terms of the whole way that it expressed itself in the Golos and how it would express itself when they came back. In any case, according to Rashi, the Yodom Nachor is actually the expression of Onesh. The Me'ai Homu Rav is coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to the sense in the Kina here, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to redeem us is expressed as Yado Shalach Minachor. Continues the Kina. Zaku Amorav Kinnom Das Lahakim. Bitzayim Rasso Ba'ora Shelo Yakim. What's being referred to here is the epiphany of Yoshiyahu when he discovered the Sefer Torah, when it was read to him, and he made a commitment at that point that we must create a campaign of tshuva. That's why they had a whole mass assembly, and they had the Torah read for everybody, and everyone had to stand up and say, we are in on this, and then they had a Karban Pesach that was brought, a mass Karban Pesach, all described in the Pesukim and Melachim Beis and Divrei HaYamim. And so it says, Zaku Amarav, his words were very clean and pure. Kinnom Das Lakim, when he said, like Nu'um, Nam, when he said that he's going to establish the law of the Torah. Bitsa Emraso, Barash Elo Yakim. Here what it means is as follows. See, Bitsa Emraso is based on a pasuk in Eicha that says, it says in Eicha, Bitsa Emraso, Asher Tziva Mimei Kedem. It's in Perek Beis in Eicha, Perek Yud Zayin. Asa Hashem Asher Zoman. Hashem did what he had planned. Bitsa Emraso, Pshuto Shel Mikra, means he carried out, Bitsa, he carried out his decree that he had already instructed from way back. Now, if that's the Shad in the Pasuk, how does that fit here in the Kina? Bitsa Emraso, he carried out what he said, Ba'ora Shel Yakim. It doesn't sound right. Archbold tries to say something here, but that's probably the Pshat is not Archbold's Pshat here. It has others explain it, based on a Medrash. The Medrash says the following, that Pasuk in Eicha Perek Beis, Bitsa Emraso, that means, Baza Purpurin Shelo, he ripped his Levush Malchus, Kiviyachu, Keshbrochu ripped his royal garments. And that's the minig that we have not to wear a talis gadol, on Tisha B'Av in the morning, based on the medrash of Batsa Purpurin Delay. That Bitsa Emraso means the Kadosh Baruch Hu tore Kiviyachal his garments, therefore the tzitzis, we're not to wear the tzitzis. That's also why we take the parochis off to the side, and we take off the parochis, same idea. Batsa Purpurin Shelo. So therefore, the pshat is like this, that the Yerushalmi tells us that when we know that Yoshio tore his garments, it says in the Pasuk, when he heard the Sefer Torah being read. But the Yerushalmi says that it was specifically connected to a Pasuk that was there in front of him that says in Pashas Kisavo, Ar Rashelo Yakim Stiver Torah Azos. So he says, as the Yerushalmi says in page 3, you see the source on the right side toward the bottom, on the right side, that Al Hadover Hazek Kara Yoshio V'Oma Alai Lahakim. On this, Yoshio tore his garments, and he says, I must be the one to establish the law of the land being Torah. And therefore, that's the pshat in the Kina here. Bitsa Emraso, as according to the Medrash, that Hashem ripped his garments. So here it means on Yoshio. Yoshio tore his garments in connection to the pasuk that he saw in the Sefer Torah of Ar Rashelo Yakim. And he says, Alai Lahakim. So he was beautiful. Yoshio was doing wonderful things. And Nebuch, what happens? Ches. Chashach Taro, his countenance was darkened, the Kenyatsu Rechokin. When those who were coming from a distance, the Egyptians who were coming from a distance, were provoking him, they provoked him. Yeshua says, I'm not letting you go through. Bevetza Moaseidas Vechukim. in the that's his expression for averos. So because of the sins of those who rejected the mitzvahs of the Torah, meaning again the idea of the Leitzani Hador, those who worship Abu Dazar privately, and again to reiterate the point that because of the chet of the door, Yoshio had to pay the price. Okay, Tess. Tovim, again, corresponding to the pasuk of Tovim Hayuchali Cherev. So he uses now the expression Tovim. There's a question here, but it's Ra'im, Re'im. We're going to go with what seems to be probably better pshat, is Re'im, not Ra'im. Tovim, Re'im, even though the Kina from the 1600s works with Ra'im, but Tovim, Re'im, Nikru, B'sholcho Malach, Mali V'alach Hayom L'Salach. Let's just do it together. Yidei Am Ha'aretz Damim B'Malach Te'anesh B'Vitzi Es B'nei Filach. Okay, what these two standards are referring to is the communication from Paro Necho to Yoshiyahu, which said in effect, listen, I'm not bothering you, you don't bother me. Just let me do my thing. And let's look at how it's expressed in the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Take a look. It's on page number 2. At the end of Divrei Hayamim Beis, Paragamid Hei, a few psukim there. So this was after the 18th year, was when everything happened, that he made the Karban Pesach, and then now we're in the 31st year of his reign. So Parnacho wants to go Ilachim Bekarkish. Vayetzi Likrasa Yoshe, Yosho masses his army opposite him. Vayishlach Elav Malachim Leimor. So Parnacho sends messengers to Yosho. He says, Mali Valach Melch Yehuda, what is it between me and you? Lo Lacha Ata Ayom, I'm not coming against you today. Kiel Beis Mulchamti, I have to go wage war over there. Ve'elokim Amar Levahaleini. Keep this in mind. We have to know what this Elokim means. Does it mean Kodesh? Does it mean Chol? Ve'elokim, and God said to rush me. So one pshat is Tishma Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm meant to go there. This what I'm doing a divine mission. That's apparently how Elazar Kalir understood it. We'll see in a second where. Chadalecha Me'elokim Hashemi. Stay away from the power, the God that's with me. I have God on my side. And let him not destroy you. This is the theme of this sentence that we have right now. If you mess with me, you're going against the divine will, and you're gonna suffer as a result. And of course, as the next passage says, Yeshio did not turn aside. He didn't listen to Divrei Necho Mipi Elokim. We'll come back to that too in a minute, which was from God. It was meant to be that Paro Necho conveyed the message, which was really consistent with Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Yoshio disregarded that, and he went to fight. Now, come back to what we have over here. Tovim Reyim Nikru. They were considered good friends. Who? Paro Necho and Yoshio. They were allies. They're not looking. He's not going to provoke a fight. Bisholcho Malach, when he sends the messenger, as the pasuk says, right? V'yishach Elav Malachim. What does he say? Mali Valach, what's it between me and you? And that's based on the Lashon here in the Pasuk. Mali Valach, notice he's borrowing the Lashon of the Pasuk. Mali Valach, Hayom, today, the Salach. Salach is Milashon Tila'ah, Eis Ko HaTlashim, it's Asa Maderach, meaning to get exhausted. I don't need to exhaust you. Why waste your energy, to put it in our words? Why waste your energy? I'm not bothering you. You don't have to get in my way either. Yidei Am Ha'aretz, the hands, and then Yidei here is again the working off of the Yidei over here, right, in Perek Dalet, Yidei Nashim Achmanios, Yidei Am, the hands of the masses, meaning my people, your people, Damim, the Malach, it's going to be filled with blood, there's going to be bloodshed all around, Te'anesh, you'll be punished, Bivitzi, as in as much as I am carrying out, here the bitsi means to carry out, like bitsa and raso, the pshut of shomikra, to carry out, even modern Hebrew, batseya, is to carry out, es p'nei filach, the desire here of the one who does wonders for you, meaning Elokim. This is a paraphrase of Elokim Amar Levahaleini, chadalecha me'elokim asher imi v'lo yashchisecha, meaning God is with me. God doesn't want you to fight, and therefore, why cause unnecessary bloodshed? I don't know if it's possible to do Ma'ariv in the other room, so we can learn another 10 minutes. I don't know if it's possible. Yeah, okay. Let's see if we can go for another few minutes. Okay, so what happens now? So notice, according to this pshat, Elokim amar v'hareini, and chadal nimcha, me'elokim, asher imi means Hashem. That's what the Zakir understands. The Gemara has a different pshat in Tainis Chavez and Beis, that Yeshio heard, we'll soon get to it, he using his own God, says, ah, of course I can fight him and defeat him, because he's having too much false hope on his God. So Yeshio felt that he should be fought. And according to Lezakalir and the Mitzudis there and Radak, these words are actually Lashon Kodesh. So continue now with the Kaf. Kila Hamonai, again corresponding to the pasuk here of Kila Hashem es Hamas. So Kila Hamonai Leches Aram Naharayim. There are two pshat in here, but I have a problem with one of them. One pshat is that it means Yoshiyahu destroyed Hamonai, means the masses, my masses, meaning many Jews. Many Jewish lives were lost. Leches Aram Naharayim, by going out to Aram Naharayim in order to fight Paranacho, he caused a lot of bloodshed. He caused a lot, masses of Jews to die. Now, the difficulty with that pshat is that we don't really find in the Pesukim at all that many Jews died. The only one that seems to say died was Yoshio HaMelech Nebuch. He was the carbon. But we don't even find that there were mass casualties. The Masha in Moed Katan says explicitly that actually it was an Evel Yachid. The only casualty was Yoshio HaMelech. That was it. So how could it say Kila HaMonai, that the masses were destroyed? The other pshat, and the other kasha I have in this pshat is Leches Aram Naharayim. L'chore, that's not so. Where was the battle? The battle was in Megiddo. He wanted to go all the way north to Aram Naharayim. So how could it say that he was going Aram Naharayim? He wasn't going Aram Naharayim. So the other pshat, and Artsko has the other pshat, that he, meaning Yeshiyahu, wanted to stop. Kila means to stop, to stand in the way of Chayolei Mitzrayim, of the soldiers of Egypt, that they wanted to go to Aram Naharayim, and Yeshiyahu tried to cut short that trip to Aram Naharayim, and he met up with him in Bigas Megiddo. Rabosai, if you can daven next door, it would be appreciated. Those who came from my, so maybe we can finish. Okay, why does he do that, Yoshiyahu? L'ma'an lo savor cherev koshuhu be'Ephraim. In order that even the slightest cherev should not pass through in Ephraim. What does this mean? This means the idea that we mentioned earlier, based on the Midrashim, that Yoshiyahu felt that the pasuk guarantees the cherev lo savor ba'artzechem, even a cherev of shalom will not pass through and should not pass through. Therefore, he didn't even want a cherev koshehu, even the slightest cherev, even a cherev shel shalom, to pass through be'Ephraim. Now, I have a question. Why does he say be'Ephraim? In Eretz Yisrael, why does he say be'Ephraim? So, you're going to say a simple answer. Well, it has to rhyme, right? Everything has to rhyme here. So, he says, Naharayim, Ephraim, Achorayim, B'Mitzrayim. Okay, so is that the only answer? So that's why he makes it rhyme. But why does he use the expression of the Ephraim? So I have a couple of thoughts, a couple of answers. The Perush on Kinnis from the couple of hundred years ago, he says that apparently the area, and I don't know this geographically, but I'm just quoting from him, the area that he had to pass through happened to be Eretz Ephraim. Okay, gosh, you have to go figure it out. The land was Eretz Ephraim, that's where he wanted to pass through. Okay, could be, that's correct. I think you can say some other things, al derech hadrush. First of all, I want to suggest the following thought, that we know something else very interesting about Yoshio HaMelech. The Gemara tells us in Megillah Yudalid that under his reign, they actually brought back, it's Chelok as well, they brought back a percentage of the Aseres HaShvatim back to Eretz Yisrael, who were exiled, as you know, some hundred years earlier, and Yoshio reigned over them. And Yirmiyahu was busy helping bring back Aseres HaShvatim, which means that it was under Yoshio's reign that we had a little bit of a unity where the Aseres HaShvatim were brought back to Eretz Yisrael and Yoshio ruled over them. And that's, of course, the reference of Ephraim. Ephraim is the symbol of Aseres HaShvatim, the first one of the Malchus Yisrael was Yeravim ben Nevat, and Ephraim is always used as a reference to the northern kingdom. So therefore, Dafka, because Yoshio ruled over the Aseres HaShvatim as well, that's why Zakir uses expression Ephraim, because of that. And the second idea is because Yoshio was a messianic figure. As we know, Mashiach Hashem. But the problem was, he almost brought the Geula, but he couldn't. He ended up, of course, dying tragically, and the Geula was not to come till Vayesheni, and then ultimately Lasid Lavo. What is that reminiscent of? It's reminiscent of the notion called Mashiach ben Yosef. The Gemara in Sukkah talks about two Mashiachim, and many Midrashim like this. Mashiach ben Yosef will accomplish so much, but then unfortunately, the big hesped described in Chemes Gog Magog is a hesped for Mashiach ben Yosef, who will die tragically before the job is finished. And this goes back to the whole idea that even in Mitzrayim, there were Bnei Ephraim that went out early, and they were clobbered, and it was like premature. So too, the Mashiach Hashem, in the form of Yoshio Melech, with everything he did, but the Geul was premature. He was, in a certain sense, in the mold of a Mashiach ben Yosef. And that's why using the expression Ephraim in connection to Yoshio. These are all possible thoughts as well that could lie in the Lashon of the Kina. So we now. You should realize, we continue now with the Lamed, there's a mistake in most editions of Kinnis. You will see in most Kinnis, at least the art score that I have here, a Vav, Vilo Shama. That's not correct. This is an Aleph base acrostic, and the Aleph base corresponds, as you can see, as we noted many times, to the Psukim and Echa Perek Dalid. We are up to a Lamed. What's the Pasuk over there? Lo Haminu. We're talking about the word Lo, not Vilo. So it doesn't make sense to say Vilo. It doesn't fit with the whole rhythm of the whole kina. Should not say vilo shama. It should say, of course, without the vav. Lo shama lachoze lashuv achorayim. And let's understand what he means. He did not listen to the navi. The choze is the navi. You know who the navi is. To turn back. Because it was a decree that Mitzrayim should get confused and sichsuch is the pasuk in Yishav is sichsachti Mitzrayim. We use the term sichsuch to mean like a confusion, a bilbul. Mitzrayim should trip over Mitzrayim. What does all this mean? It means the following: that let's look at the source for this. Back on page 3 in Medrash Eicha, in the middle, that it says that Lo Shamal Dibri Nechom Pielukim. Remember the pasuk in Dibri Yom says that Yoshio did not listen to the words of Nechom Pielukim. So Necho was saying, don't mess with me, don't bother me, I won't bother you. And it was in Pielokim, it was meant by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there should not be a war for Yeshio to wage against Paro Necho. So says the Medrash, the Pielokim is Yirmiyahu. Says the Medrash, listen how it says it. Omar Yoshio, kach mekublan Yeshaya Rabbi. I have a kabbalah from my Rabbi Yeshaya. The Pasuk in Yeshaya says, v'sichsachti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim. That means that Mitzrayim should get trip over Mitzrayim and let them wage war, whoever against they want to wage, and they're going to end up, you know, hitting each other, you know, with the friendly fire. They'll end up falling on their own with their own battle, with their own internal conflicts. That was the nevuah of Yeshaya, and Yirmiyahu is expressing to Yoshio here, don't mess with Paro Necho, let him do his thing, and they'll end up dying on their own in their own battles. V'loshamalo, Yisho didn't listen. He says, Moshe Rabba de Rabba, Chokacham, you're quoting your Rebbe Yeshaya. But let's go back to Moshe Rabbeinu Rabba de Rabba, and he said, Chev Osav Ba'artzach. Now let's look over here at this sentence. Lo shamalo choze, he didn't listen to the Navi Yirmiyahu, let's say, Roshav HaChorayim, because it was a gzera that Mitzrayim should trip over Mitzrayim. But here's my question. How was Yirmiyahu's warning conveyed to Yoshio, and when? The way it sounds over here in the Medrash, he said it to him, to his face. Omar, it says, Omar Yoshio. Sounds like, you know, there was a conversation. So when did this conversation take place? So presumably before Yoshiyahu even went out to greet Paro Necho with his army. Now the Pasuk says that Paro Necho was going to pass through, and the pasuk says, "Vayeitze l'krosso Yoshiyahu." It means he amassed his army, and then comes the messengers. Don't bother me. I'm on a divine mission. Let's say, and Yoshio didn't listen, and he fought him. Now the lashon of the kina here is lo shama lachoze lashu lachorayim. He didn't listen to the navi to turn back. Now, when did Yimyo tell him? If Yimyo tell him way back, before anything, as soon, before Yoshio acted even to do anything, that's Lashem HaChorayim. He did Lashem HaChorayim to send his army out. So it sounds like the not listening has to do with a point where Yoshio had already taken steps, but now he's being warned, reverse course, don't fight. Which sounds like after Vayetze the Krasso, the Pasuk says, Vayetze, what's the lesson of the Pasuk here? Vayetze the Krasso Yoshiyahu. And then there was the message sent by Paranacho, and then V'lohesev Yisho Panav. So what does that mean? So if we were to say the following, leave out the Gemara that says Amalo. Well, the king said, as part of his message, he said, Ve'elukim Amal V'aleini, Chadalucha Me'elukim Asha'imi, meaning Hashem says, I should go. Why are you going against God? And then it says in the Pasuk, V'loshama al divinachom mipi Elokim. So it could be, and some Mepharshim seem to learn it this way, that mipi Elokim means, as the Gemara says, Yemiyahu, which means that the message that Paranacho was conveying to Yoshio was a message from Yemiyahu. And then Rosh HaBachorayim. He didn't listen to Yemiyahu to turn back because he heard the message from Paranacho and he didn't turn back. But Ma'aseh, the Medrash says, Omalo, sounds like it was a conversation. What, this conversation took place after Yoshio had maybe Yoshio sent his army, but now there was a message for Paranacho. There was also a message from Yirmiyahu at the same time. Could be the Rosh HaBachorayim. It's like reading a little bit more into the story. This is one issue that I'm trying to be mevar. I'm not 100% clear about, but there's another issue, namely, how did Yoshio go against Yirmiyahu and Navi? Eilof Tishmoen, a Navi says something. How can you go against the word of the Navi? So you could say a couple of things. And the Rav talked about this in his explanation of Kinnis as well. Why was Yimyo saying it? Was it the Torah's Nevuah? Was it the Torah's Chachma? Yimyo was saying the Torah's Nevuah, so maybe Yeshua has to listen. Yimyo is saying the Torah's Chachma, so I have a better shot. Yeah, you say one thing from Yeshayo. I say from Moshe Rabbeinu. I darshan differently. So it's not mechuyev to listen to the Navi. But the only thing is, was it really a Chachma or was it Nevuah? So if you look at the Pasuk says that he didn't listen to Paranacho, Yoshua didn't listen, Mipi Elokim. Mipi Elokim means from the Navi. Sounds like the Pasuk is saying it was Nevuah. So therefore, it could be that was a mistake. Yoshua thought that Yirmiyahu was saying it as a Chacham, so he could be Dingzach with him. But really, it was not a Chachma, it was an issue of Nevuah. So Melo Yoshua really had to listen, but he didn't know. He thought it was just a Chachma. And the Russian of Shai Rabbi sounds like my Rebbe, meaning as Chachma. I, the Nevuah of Sechtachim Tzvayim Mitzrayim, it doesn't mean specifically here, you have to turn back. This is a Nevuah that Mitzrayim is going to trip over Mitzrayim. But Yirmiyahu darshens the Nevuah and says that means that right now you should back off. And Yoshua says, doesn't mean that. Yes? So that's what. That's what I'm trying to figure. It's not clear. There is a. Well, you have to know. Sometimes the first thing to do is to define what's there. That's half an answer. Sheilas Chacham Chatzit Shuba. The source for a nevuah that was conveyed to Yoshio from Yirmiyahu that he should back off is in Psukim. It's alluded to in the words that he didn't listen. Mipi Elokim. That's where it starts in the Pasuk. Now we have a Medrash that says that Amalo, that Yeshaya told me, or I heard from Yeshaya, and he says, no, I count this back. I know Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah better. But then you have another, and you have another aspect of this. The Gemara in Tainus seems to say different than everything in the Medrash. The Gemara in Tainus says, look in page number 3, the Gemara says, not, first of all, that when it says Elokim in the beginning of the Pasuk, Chadam HaKadoshim Imi V'ayash Chisecha, that means Avodah Zarah. Says Yoshio, ah, hold the Kabakach Avodah Zarah Yechil Nele. He's trusting Avodah Zarah, I can overcome. So that's the first thing. That it's against what the Lev HaKalir says earlier, that it's Te'onesh B'Vitzias Pnei Tilach, meaning that Elokim is Kodesh. No, here he's saying Elokim is Avodah Zarah. Continue the Gemara further down. The Pnei Ma Nenash Yoshiyahu. Why was he nanash? Again, he was nanash for the Hon Ador, but there had to be something right now also that was also the pretext for his onesh. The Pnei Shehayu Lo Limolech B'Yamyo V'Lo Nimlach. Dr. Gemara in Tainis Chav Beis, that he didn't consult. According to the Medrash, the problem was that he went against the wishes of Yirmiyahu. That sounds like Yirmiyahu tells him, reverse course, or don't go, and he didn't listen. The Gemara says, lo nimlach, sounds like he didn't consult in the beginning. So again, these are all issues that have to be resolved. From the lesson of the Kina here, though, the sense is that there was a communication. The Shaila is whether it was direct or indirect. But the communication had to do with having him reverse course. That's what it says. Lashu v'acharei. I want to just try to go a little quicker. Just if we can try maybe another 10 minutes or so, maybe we can try to get to the end here. So we're up to now the men. Now the men mechatos again, corresponding to the pasukim mechatos neviyaha, mechatos from the sin of stiras mezuzos, of hiding. This baseser is private, right? It doesn't mean knocking down. It means baseser of the hiddenness of the mezuzos, the avodah zara by the doors. Now let's understand the connection. So we have this idea: there's sins of the concealing of the avodah zara. Good. Chazon ansosi, the vision of the one from anasos. Who was from anasos? Min hakohen Hashem ba'anasos Yirmiyahu, the nevu of Yirmiyahu, hechelu levazos. They began to disparage. Let's understand what this means. How do these two parts of the sentence connect? We know there were sins of avodah zara by the doors. Good, but how does that connect with the nevu of Yirmiyahu they were making fun of? So how could we understand it? So one pshat that you would suggest is it means that the people who were doing these avodah zaras behind the doors, they were called the tzanei hador. So these Litzani Hador, they're laughing at everybody. They're laughing at Yirmiyahu too. So these people that were committing these avodah zaras in this tricky way, they were disparaging Yirmiyahu. Now the problem with this pshat is how does it connect with what comes later? We're talking about the war of Yoshiyahu and against Paranecho and the death of Yoshiyahu. The next sentence talks about how the Mitzvim were shooting at him and they want to desecrate his body. As we'll soon see, no anamim, anam are the Mitzvim. They came, they moved, v'chumo lahavzos, to violate his flesh. So we're talking about Yoshiyahu on the battlefield. So what does the sentence before have to do with that? Because of the sin that they were hiding of avodah zara, they were making fun of Yirmiyahu. Fix that in the middle. We're talking about the war. We're coming back to the war. In the middle of this, we mention how they were making fun of Yirmiyahu and Navi. So it doesn't seem to fit in the context. Everyone hear the problem with this pshat? So I think there's another way to read it. It means like this. It's reiterating the point that we just said, that they did not listen to Yirmiyahu, who warned, or however the warning was communicated, don't fight Paranecho. So the chazon ansosai means that they were ignoring the vision of Yirmiyahu, who says don't fight. The hechelu would have to mean Yoshiyahu and his company. And we'll soon see that again further on in the king. That doesn't show himself. Yoshiyahu and his men and his advisors, they play down Yirmiyahu's warning. But how does it connect with the first part of the sentence? So you have to read a word into this. Mechatos yas mezuzos, not because of the sin, because they were unaware of the sin. In other words, why did they think that they would wage a successful battle against Paranecho? Because they felt they won the Madvega of Chevos HaVarz. And what was the mistake? That these sins did occur, but they didn't know about them. So because of the existence of the sin, you can put it that way, because of the existence that they were unaware of, that is why they disparaged the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu. Similar to the idea we saw in the beginning, May Elav, because of that sin, that's why this happened. So this is why they disparaged Yirmiyahu's Nevuah, because of this sin, they didn't know about it. Now let's continue. Na'u anamim, again, na'u in the pasuk here, I want to mention why, the context here, na'u ivrim bachutzos. That's the pasuk in Eicha. Na'u means here to move, like shvanach and shvanah, right? Navanatia ba'aretz by Kayin. Who are the anomim? This you have to know, Parshas Noach. Umitzrayim Yolad, the part that we don't usually focus on at the end of Noah, the Shivim Umos. Umitzrayim Yolad es Ludim the es Anomim. So one of the children of Mitzrayim is Anomim. So for poetic license, Hakalir is using the word Anomim to refer to the Mitzvim. The Mitzvim moved, Lechumo is a Russian Aravi for Basar, the source being a pasuk in Sfanya that says Ulechumam kegolim, domam keafar, beshupach dom keafar, Ulechumam kegolim. Zakrashi there, Russian Aravi, Basar Korin, Loch, the Lamed Chesim Wotnerek, Lechem Lucham is Basar. Lahavzos, to desecrate, to violate. Why does he use the term anomim here? It's not because it's cute to use a fancy word for mitzvim, maybe. But more likely because where does the pasuk come from? The expression na'u comes from the pasuk here. You asked before, Dr. Lederach, to what extent can you use a parallel between the sentence here and the sentence in the original Eicha? Well, what does it say in Eicha? Na'u ivrim. The word ivrim means blind people. How do they spell ivrim? Starts with an ayin and ends with a mem. Now he's using the word na'u for the mitzvim, but he wants to use the word for mitzvim that corresponds to the word ivrim that's used in Eicha. The word ivrim starts with an ayin and ends with a mem. Lo and behold, we have a pasuk in Noach that uses that mentions the name anomim as a child of mitzvah. So he uses the term anomim. Very pashut. That's why he does it. So na'u anomim, the anomim, the mitzvim are coming, they're moving. L'chumo l'havzos. To what? To mutilate, as they say here, to mutilate Yoshio's flesh. Now, understand something. Where does he get this from? Does it say in the pasuk that they're going to mutilate his flesh? Sam, you want to create a drama here? It has to be based on the codes, right? What does he mean? Bechal, you have to know. You think he come to mutilate his flesh means he's already dead. Umaisa, did Yoshio die then on the battlefield? So it's a stira between a pasuk and Melachim. And the pasuk in Divya Yomim. In Divya Yomim, it says there, Vayaviru avada minar kava, Vayikivu agrecha la mishne, Vayomas, Vayikava bekivas avosav. Sounds like he didn't die there. He says to them, Ki achresi ma'od, in the Lachin, in Melachim, the Lashon HaPasuk in Melachim is Vayimiseyu b'Megid, Vayikivu avadav neis mi'Megido. Sounds like he's already dead on the battlefield. From the Pasuk in Devayam that we just read, it sounds like Vayachir Yushalayim Vayomas, meaning in Yushalayim. So if you say Rechumo Lahavzos is to desecrate his flesh, it sounds like he already died, but it's not clear from the two Pesukim. Could be that mace means he was goses. So what's going on here? So I think the pshat is pashut. What he's trying to, and where does he get this idea that they're coming to desecrate Rachman al-Utran, his body? He means the following. The Gemara, the Medrash and the Gemara both quote the following. And you can find this in your sheets. But the pasuk says here in Devei Yomim, Vayoru Hamorim, and we have it soon quoted in the Kina, Vayoru Hayorim Lemelch Yoshio. The archers were shooting at him. Says the Medrash, says the Gemara, Shlosh Meos Chitim Horubo. They shot 300 arrows at him, Ad Shenasa Gufo Kikvara, until his body became Achman Tzal Gassiv. This is mamish what he's saying here in the Kina. It's just that he's using it in different terminology. When you shoot 300 arrows in a body till it becomes like a sieve, that's mamish what is describing here as na'u anamim l'chumo l'havzos. Where you shoot and you shoot and you shoot and you shoot. That's taking the body and mutilating the body. Now what does he say? V'lo hesed panav. And he didn't turn his face. V'safdu alzos, v'siftu alzos. Hard to know the connection here. What is the connection? The Russian hesed v'lo hesed panav, as you can see in the pasuk in Divya Yomim. When Yoshio went forward to fight, he just got the message, don't fight, turn back. Pasuk Chav Beis, V'lo Heisev Yoshio Panav Mimenu. He didn't turn away. Okay. So how do you fit into the sentence here? That they're shooting arrows at him? That's after. After he went to fight. After he disregarded the message. So now, if the Pshat is correct that we just said, that they shot arrow after arrow after arrow, and they mutilated his flesh. So now why is he turning a face upon him? He didn't turn away. That's when he heard the message. He did it. So how do you touch it? The Saptu Alzos, and you should mourn Alzos. It's a Pashkim, yo, Alzos. So I had a pshat. I don't know if it's correct. I'll just share it possibly. How does it connect? That was the pasuk shebohesed panav. It means he didn't listen to the message, and he fought. Avraham Kalir is taking poetic license here. He used the lashon pasuk, but in a different way. Nebuch, they shot and shot and shot in the arrows, and he was ice man. She was mamish, so he couldn't move his face. He was like paralyzed. They paralyzed him. So he took the lashon, the hesed panav, which in the context in the pasuk means he didn't turn away. He went to fight. He persisted in fighting. And Rosh HaKalir took the expression and just said, you know, as a result of what they did, he could not move. He was immobile, as it were. So he's just taking the lashon pasuk, but using it in a different way. Possible. Continue. But now we're up to the samach. Again, samach in Eicha is suru. Suru he'idu. They warned, turn away, ad lashia, so that there won't be destruction, desolation. And they refused to turn. Umat yisod neshia, and the foundation of the earth, neshia is an expression for the land, for the earth, was fallen, meaning that Yoshio died. He was the tzaddik yisod olam. Now, what's heidu, plural? Who warned? I thought it was one. Navi Yirmiyahu. What's heidu? So how could you explain in Lashon Rabbim? So maybe Yirmiyahu was quoting Yeshayahu, his Rebbe. So you use Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, that's true. Or, how did the message get conveyed? We saw in the Pasuk, from Paranachal. So Heidu means Yirmiyahu, and Vaya, Paranachal, that's also Russian Rabbi. What's the Russian Rabbi on the other side? Vayimuanu Sur, you have to say Yeshayahu and his whole group. Pnei Krav, now with the Pei before the Ayin, consistent with the Perek as well. Pnei Hashem Chilkam, Pnei Krav Ke Karev, as he's coming close to the battlefield, or Karav, but also Loretia. And there was no, there's two gears here, Shia means his Tfila, we'll go with Retia, bandage. There was no bandage. There was no refuah. Vayoru Hamorim, Lamelech Yoshia. The pasuk is Yoshiyahu, but the rhyme here in the Kina, he changes it to Yoshia. Kasha. Vayoru Hamorim is what they did. But the bandage should be after that, right? Vayoru Hamorim should say after that. So you could say Pasha Pshat, that there was no refuah to that which Vayoru Hamorim. Or you could use the Chazal here, that Chazal tells us that the Derech Klal Kadosh Baruch Hu is Magdim Refuah Lemaka. You find in Gilas Esther and other places. So that didn't happen here. If there would have been a refuah, that would have been before the Maka. Loso Retia Vayoru Hamorim. Now the Ayin. Odenu Otsim Enav, he's closing his eyes, Begevyo Nochatzim, and they're pressing his body. Chitzachachitz, Morim Velochatzim. One sword after one arrow after another, 300 arrows. Tzadi, Tzaduhu means that they ambushed him. Visamuhu, they place him Kamatar Lachitzim. Kamatar Lachitz is a pasuk in Necha, like a target for the arrows. Vayisukuvo Shoshmir Schitzim. That's the Gemara that says 300 arrows. Could be 300 is a Malitza, Guzma, could be literal, has symbolic ideas. Don't know. Now, Kuf. Now, this next sentence is based on the Gemara and the Medrash that we should just be aware of and then understand the background. The Pasuk says in Eicha Perek Aleph, you have it on page 3, the Medrash on this Pasuk. Tzadik hu Hashem kifil marisi. It's Tziduk Hadin. This Pasuk is put in the mouth of Yoshio HaMelech. And the Medrash quotes the story of Yoshio HaMelech's death. And then the idea being that Tziduk Hadin, Yoshiyahu is acknowledging that he did something wrong. The Gemara Tainus is more explicit and explains a little more carefully what's going on here. That's what this sentence is based on. Take a look in the Gemara Tainus on page 4, the end of the Gemara there. Ki avinocha nafshe, as Yoshiyahu was dying, chazi yemiyosiv vasei kamrachshan, he saw his lips that were like moving, mumbling. Sometimes Rachman, a person has a lot of pain, like Eov, and they start saying things against the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So maybe he's saying something bitter against Hashem. So Gochin, he bent over, Vishame the Kamastika Ledina Anafshe. He was saying Siddika Din, Omar, Sadik Hashem Ki, feel Marisi, that I went against the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And the Medrash says against the Kaddish Baruch Hu, against Yom Yahu. According to the Gemara Tainus, it wasn't against Yom Yahu, it was just that he didn't consult with Yom Yahu. So it doesn't say he went against Yom Yahu, but he realized that he was responsible. Siddik Din. Meaning that even at the end, Yoshiyahu was still at Tzaddik to the very end. He did not say anything against the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Now we understand this sentence. The only thing that's strange is the word Kalim. Kalim is the word used in Eicha Perek Dalet, as you have here, Kalim Hayurot Feinu. But who went to hear Yoshiyahu's words? Yirmiyahu. Now suddenly, the word in the Kina is Kalim Hitu Acharav, light ones. Bent over after him. Who bent over? Yirmiyahu. How come it says Kalim? Yirmiyahu is Kalim? How does it fit? Ezon Motzafiu, to listen to what's coming out of his mouth. Va'ad Mitzui Nefesh, even at the end of his life, the last breath, the squeezing his soul, Masa Vefiu, his actions were beautiful, as explained it. So meaning to say that he was not saying a bad word against the Kaddish Baruch Hu even at the end. That's what it means. Admitsu nefesh ma'isavefiu. What's kalim? Some learn he quick. Whoever, quickly it was done. That's how some learn it. Kalim hitu, quickly. Where does it say it? Mistamed, it was done quickly. Okay. Others say maybe the malachim who are kalim, they gave the message to Yirmiyahu. I don't know. We have no more chorus for this. So I don't have a good shot how to read it. Kalim hitu achavot. Tzassu acharav. Some have. The use of the word kalim here in connection to Yirmiyahu's overhearing it is very unclear. But possibilities abound, but nothing that I feel like is so compelling. Ruach svasav, the spirit of his lips, hifza mipil. Hifza means he opened up from his mouth, and he said, Tzadiku Hashem ki marisi fiu. That's what we just saw from the Gemara. The idea of ruach svasav, I'll just mention, interesting, that the expression ruach svasav is used in connection to Mashiach. In the vua of Yeshaya, Perek Yud Aleph, Ode Yom Ben Olam, we have it after the Pesach, that's in the Perek Yud, into Perek Yud Aleph there. So this is the Shafet B'Tzedek Dalin, and at the end of that Pasuk, Vuruach Sfas of Yom Yisrasha. Mashiach has the ability of Ruach Sfas of, which is the spirit of his lips. And we know that Yoshiyahu was a Mashiach in a sense, so he uses the same expression, Ruach Sfas of here. It fits with the word Ruach Apeinu in Eicha Perek Dalet. Now we have the sin. We're up to the sin, just sin and tough, that's it. So the sin is Sisi v'simchi bas Edom. Here it's Sisi nof v'kinei zam l'shalem sha'onam b'avon bitzam. Nof is a city in Mitzrayim. So it's a reference to Mitzrayim. Now there are two ways to learn this. One pshat is, he's saying, Mitzrayim, you should rejoice. Ki kinei zam, Hashem was punishing Klal Yisrael. He punished Klal Yisrael. He let out his anger. L'shalem sha'onam, to repay the masses of Klal Yisrael, ba'avon bitzam, because of the sin of their averos. Ba'avon bitzi is a pasuk, bitzo is a pasuk in Yishayin and Zayin, ba'avon bitzo. But it means Klal Yisrael's averos were repaid by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Mitzvah, you should rejoice that Klal Yisrael are getting punished. One pshat. I think there's a better pshat, perhaps, to use here, that it's al derech over here in the pasuk in Eicha 2. Sisi v'simchi bas Edom, says the pasuk, is sarcastic. You are laughing now. You are going to get your due at the end. You think that you are, you're doing a good thing. You're punishing Klal Yisrael. Hashem has it for you too in the end. You're not l'shem shamayim. You're going to get punished at the end too. So the gamalayach tavarko, says the pasuk in Eicha. Same idea over here. Sisi no Mitzrayim. You're happy. You be happy now, ki kinezan, that Hashem is punishing Klal Yisrael. Or the opposite. Sisi no, you be happy, ki kinezan, Hashem will get back at you, is the point. Now, kine, not in the past, but in the future. Hashem will, and that's what I think they say in the article. While Hashem through shall avenge, l'shalem sha'onam, to pay back the hordes of Mitzrayim, ba'avon bitzam, for their sin. And this is like the Ramban writes in Lech Lecha, that why do Mitzrayim were punished when they when they make Klal Yisrael serve them as avodim in Mitzrayim, I Hashem decreed it. So the Rabban explains because they went over the top and they weren't l'shem shemayim. Two ideas. It was out of their own hatred, and they went more than Hashem wanted. That's the same idea here. That it's not, you have your own sinner, therefore you're not exonerated. Therefore, you'll be punished in the end. And the Radak writes that we find afterwards that Paranachol had many setbacks, and it was always in a karma for what he did to Yoshio. The last letter, Tav, Tam Kesem HaTov, the end of Yoshio, who was Kesem HaTov, Amzu, this nation, like Amzu Ga'ota, Amzu Yetzar TV, Kar Yisrael B'Fasham, in their sin. And this, here's the idea again of Mipnei Haro Nesav HaTzadik, in the sin of this nation, Yoshio died. Vayikoin Olav, Ko Echa Yuam, as we've seen, that the whole Echa Yuam is about Yoshio. The truth is, only two psukim seem to be obviously about Yoshio. The rest of Perek Daled is really about Klal Yisrael, but because it's all integrated, it's embedded, it's all connected. The Churban of Klal Yisrael, Churban of the death of Yoshio, it's all intertwined, therefore Echa Yuam has in it, embedded in it, the kina for Yoshio. Now this next sentence is a very striking sentence. One line of HaKalir is like, you know, golden, just in terms of the associations. He's using more of tough. He has a few more ideas in tough, so he has two more sentences of tough. Tom the Mikra Echad, Kos Megido Lishtos. What does he mean here? He means a mevish, you have it in your sheets, a mevish in Koheles. A mevish in Koheles. It's a very powerful mevish, a very jarring mevish. You have to know what to do with this mevish, how to take it. But let's hear the mevish and you'll see what I mean. The mevish is on a pasuk in Koheles. It's actually a medrash in Achrimos as well, so you have an Achrimos. The medrash going at a pasuk in Koheles in Perek Tes. The psukim in Koheles and Perek Tes are saying everyone's in the same boat, seemingly. It's like one of these expressions of like, we're all going to the same place anyway, so what makes a tzaddik better than a rasha? Seems to be the gist of the psukim in Koheles. So the pasuk says in Koheles Perek Tes, Mikre Echad, the same story happens. La tzaddik or rasha, la tov, la tamei, la torah, la tamei, la zoveyach, la shen en zoveyach. Everyone ends up at the end of the day, and ends up, you know, you say, in the ground. That's the process. Now, the medrash pins these expressions to individuals. Who's the tov? Who's the tamei? Who's the tor? Who's the tzaddik? Who's the rasha? So we're not going to go through the whole medrash, just the Zoveach and the Einenu Zoveach. The Mikra Echad, for the Zoveach and the Zoveach. Who's the Zoveach? Yoshio HaMelech had a campaign, he retired the Beit HaMikdash, he had a Korban Pesach brought that there had never been the likes of it for years and years and years, it says, since the time it says of Shmuel HaNavi. He's the Zoveach. He dies, and there was another king, an Einenu Zoveach. Who is that? Achav Melech Yisrael, who was an Oved of Baal, and he brought up a Zohar in Yisrael, and he stopped Karbanos being brought. And yet, there's irony here. Zen Meis Bechitzim, the Zen Meis Bechitzim. The story of their deaths, they have a similar end. We know the story of Achav's death, who was in a battle there, Ramoth Gilad, and an archer shot an arrow, and he killed Achav, and it was a tzara that him. The king died. And here we have a King Yoshio, a Zoveach, and he died b'chitzim. And the Medrash is bemoaning the fact that Zoveach and Zoveach, it's Mikra Echad. Says HaKalir, Tam b'Mikra Echad. Notice, two words. Mikra Echad, that's the pasuk in Koheles. Mikra Echad. Kos Megido Lishtos, to drink the cup of Megido. The drinking of a cup is an expression of being punished. Megido is where Yoshio died. So in his death, of Megiddo, which was the punishment that he suffered, his death, through arrows, was the Mikra Echad in the same way, same circumstances as the other one, as the Einenu Zoveach. No, so the Medrash begs itself, what does it mean? What's the lesson? What's the point of the Medrash? Well, he said, he leaves us very limp. I mean, obviously we know that there's justice in the world. So what is the Medrash trying to say? So there's a Torah Tamima I found on this, in Koheles. So the point is to show there's still Bechira. Hashem would not have these kinds of things that would make people think that, you see, what's it worth being a tzaddik? What does it really pay off at the end of the day? Look, then there'd be no bechira. So therefore, there has to be a way for people to be misled in order that a person could say, no, it pays to be a tzaddik, it pays to be a tor, it pays to be a zoveach. Right? That's what the Torah to me says. I want to point out something else fascinating. You talk about Achav and Yoshio and the similarities in the way they died. There's something else. This Zecharya Perek Yudbeis talks about a great hesped, la'asid lava, a great hesped, that's going to take place. It says that hesped of la'asid lava is going to be like k'mispeid hadad rimon bebikas migidon. Says the Gemara in Megillah Daf Gimel, Rav Yosef explains, what does it mean, this pasuk, that there'll be a mispaid, can mispaid hadad rimon bebikas migidon? We don't know such places. The answer is the hesped of la'asid lava, that has to do with the Yetzer Hara, Meshech ben Yosef, it's Gog u'Magog hesped. The hesped of la'asid lava is going to have in it a combination of two great hespedim, of two great people. And the combination of those two hespedim, the cumulative effect of those two hespedim, of those two leaders, is going to be the hesped of the Mechemes Gog u'Magog at that time. And who are they? Each one is a reference to another hesped. One hesped is the king Achav, and Achav died in Ramos Gilad. He was killed by Hadad Rimon Bar Tav Rimon, and that's the reference of, again, Hadad Rimon here. And the other hesped, and I know there was a hesped there, it doesn't say as clearly, Rashi says that's based on the pasuk of Atavo Harina Bamachana. Harina means crying out, a hesped for Achav. And then the other hesped is the hesped of Megiddon, and that's the death of Yoshio in Bikas Megiddon. And so the hesped of la'asid lava of Gog u'Magog is parallel to the combined hespedim of these two kings. Zemes b'chizus, striking thing. Striking thing. So the Mashal learns, the Gemara Megill, Gemara Moikotin, in Chavches and Moikotin, we find in both places that only the king died. There weren't other casualties. I mentioned the Mashal earlier. Just the king died. Mispeid Yachid. Rav Kook has a whole nightmare on this, not for now. Also, the idea of these two hespedim. I just want to say one interesting thing. Any Esek bin Estaros, but I found in a Perush on the Pirkei Rav Elezer, in the name of the Sefer Al Gilgulim of Rav Rizal, that Yoshiyahu was a Gilgul of Achav. And that's why he found it in his nature from the time he was born to fight Avodah Zarah, Me'elav, because the tikkun for Achav, who was over Avodah Zarah, had to come in the form of Yoshiyahu, who had to fight Avodah Zarah. Somehow there's this connection between these two personalities. Al kopanim, tam b'mikre echad, kos migido lishtos. This next sentence, I don't have a makor, I'm still looking for a makor. If you can find one, I'd really be interested. The moich nasa shmita, when did all this happen? When did Yoshio die? In the time of Shnas HaShemitah, Kigah, when it arrived, Higiah, Hakel Esos, to come. When the time of Hakel came. When is Hakel? The king reads from the Mishneh Torah, the Motzai after Shemitah, and the Sukkot after Shemitah. I don't have any Makkah. I don't wish you could find a Makkah. Weird, we know that the death of Yoshio after Cheshbon out. Maybe you can Cheshbon out, figure it out, that this occurred in that year. I don't know. That's what he says. I don't know the Makkah. I haven't found a Makkah for it. Then it says, Tola be'esim mishtayim meharos yasos. Interesting idea here. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited 22 years to destroy the foundations of Beis HaMikdash. 22 years. More or less. 22 and a half years, if you figure out from the death of Yoshio to the Churban. Why 22 years did the Churban wait? Because Kisav du lo'echav esim mishtayim Moses, because they were mastered Yoshio with 22, the letters of Echa, it's Echa Peragdalet, is according to the Arab base, meaning they gave an appropriate hesped. And by being masped Yoshio properly, there was a tremendous chus for Klal Yisrael, and that's why the Churban was delayed for 22 years. It goes back to what we said before. Sometimes, even if you can't totally change what's destined, but you can still make a difference in your own way. As we noted earlier with Rashi's Devarim, the Netziv, and the Rashi in Shir HaShirim, the hesped of Yoshio and the way that it created its orus was a schus for Klal Yisrael, and it's a tremendous schus. It's not a pashta thing. Yoshua Chazal say they weren't mastered properly, and it was a terrible thing. And here, the Hefech,
I heard yesterday my uncle, the cymbalist in Eretz Yisrael, was close with the Yashi Zuchano Bracha, and he gave a hesped yesterday, a short hesped, and I heard his hesped. He brought a Gemara in Ksuvis that says that Rebbe, Reino HaKadosh, died, Ashkata de Rebbe, those who were present at Rebbe's death were Mezuma Nechayel HaMabah. That means that there's a special inyan, that if there's a shaykhis that a person has to the death of a tzaddik, that they can get special schusim and privileges. What's the pshat? He explained, because a person evaluates what was lost and really recognizes what the person was and how we're missing so much in his absence, that kind of lesson, that kind of esorus, is itself a schus that the tzaddik is ma'orer and is inspiring people at that point. And therefore being shayach, the status of chacham, is itself a schus, and in this case, that's why it says the Churban was delayed for 22 years. And then you have the last couple of sentences, which again has the embedded name of Elazar Kalir here, Osus Kinal of Ubata Macholi, that my singing and my dancing was changed, transformed, corrupted, to Osos Kinos, means letters of Kinos, meaning, as we know, letters can go in different directions. There's Pe'er and there's Efer. There's Aden and there's Nega. So the Pe'er turned into Efer. It was turned to Echa. Eif kishachachti mecholi, at the time, as a result that I forgot Hashem who brought me into the world, who created me, as the Pasuk says in Hazinu, right? Vatishkach keel mechol alechem. Zamosi, I thought kilo ad yahili, that he'll remain as my protection forever. Rashati v'nasati v'nutashali, and instead I sinned and I was exiled and my tent was abandoned. And this is the lead into the next kina, as often happens when Elazar Kalir has a string of kinos, we pointed out last year in the shiurim, that many of the kinos are meant to be a series. And the way you know it is by looking at the last sentence of a kina and seeing how it's a bridge to the next kina. Now just a thought to end with over here, and then one other last thought, is that the point is not just some way of like a postscript here to have his name, but this idea in this last sentence or two is also capturing the spirit of the times. I thought kila ad yahili, I thought I'd have it forever. Meaning to say, especially if Yoshiyahu was so successful as he was to bring the level so much higher than it had been before, and he inspired such tshuva, so I thought for sure the Beit HaMikdash would not be destroyed. I had my Hashem, a man of Tzilu Nechia Vagoyim, I thought he would be our savior. He'd be the Mashiach Hashem, and we have a Seres HaShvatim, as we saw, under his banner. I mean, this is Mashiach Zeiten. We don't have to have a Churban. This is why Rav Elazar Kalir puts it over here. Because with Yoshiyahu, we had the hope, ki la'ad yahili. But Nebuch, it wasn't meant to be. And as Huldah already said it when she gave the Nevuah, what was slated was slated. You can still hope for the best, to tweak here, to tweak there, but sometimes what's meant to be is meant to be. It can't be reversed. And the death of Yoshiyahu had to come. If Nehara, as we saw, Nehara, Nechav HaTzadik, he couldn't see the Churban had to happen. There was Avon Hador, and he was the Karban for Kal Yisrael, and that's also connecting to why we saw that they made Kol Gufo Kikvara, like a sieve. What's the message? So the Rav used to say, Falvechik, a carbon ola is kula kalil. Everything gets put on the Mizbeach. So Yoshiyahu was in Bivchinas carbon ola. He was the machaper on the door. He was the carbon. And therefore it was Nasa Gufo Kikvara, Shloshmeos Chitzin, it was Mepnei HaRoa Nesav HaTzadik. But again, be able to take the, if you have the tshuva with the carbon, then it can have an impact. It can have an impact to hold the Churban for 22 years, and they were mastered him, and it created that. And Nebuch, we continue to mourn Yoshiyahu, and you know, you wonder, you have two shirim on Yoshiyahu and Melech, and you say, so what does it mean to us? But the answer is that as hard as it is to talk about Tzaris, you know, this is in fact the Nachama as well. So we should be zoche that zoche brother Simchaso, we should be zoche to Binyan Yerushalayim and Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Thank you.